pray for the camps this week. This is a new one for me, especially the junior camp. I'm approaching that with great anticipation, a little bit of horror mixed in, but nonetheless looking for a good week there. And then family week's a blessing to hear it's packed out, and we're looking forward to a good time. Open the Bible, Matthew chapter 11. If you were at the men's retreat a year or two back at Peniel, some of you, I think, were there a time or two or the whole thing. I can't remember exactly, but excuse me. I spoke on discipleship and making disciples and the need for us men to really get going, discipling, especially the younger generation. I'll be speaking some on that this week, especially to the parents late in the week this week. But I want to share with you Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Now, these are familiar verses of Scripture, and that scares me a little bit, because usually with seasoned Christians preaching on familiar passages, folk tend to look at their watch too much and yawn and say, we've heard this, but that would be a mistake. Try to always approach the Word of God as a very fresh thing that moment you're reading it. And the implications of what Christ is saying here are absolutely astronomical. We're going to speak and think here a few moments on this idea of the rest, R-E-S-T, that Jesus calls us to. Pastor and I and Brother Soundman, we were in the prayer room earlier, and I made a mistake of bringing up Donald Trump and what's going on in America, and so I began to digress, for which I had to ask the Lord to forgive me when we prayed together. These are unsettling times in America. They really are. This recent election, I say recent, it's 2016 now, I guess we're 2 years in almost, has really shown where our country was, that we really didn't know it was as bad as it is. And the recent election and other things that have transpired have really kind of blown the lid off the hostility, the selfishness, the violent spirit of people in this country. I don't know that we've ever been this divided as a nation, where two political parties can't even talk hardly to one another. And we now have a resistance movement, which is, we've never had that before, so to speak. And the hostility is abounding. Driving up here yesterday on the interstate, the interstates have become a circus in our country. I've noticed this through the years as I drive a lot. Used to be the interstates were very safe travel by and large compared to county roads and so forth. But now, with the cowboyism evident out on the interstates and the arrogance of people and the impatience of people, the meanness of people, the selfishness of jockeying for position and not willing to wait for anything to clear up or develop, our highways have become dieways. I'm astounded by the numbers I see on the signs over the interstate of how many traffic deaths there have been this year in Ohio or West Virginia or South Carolina. The country is at unrest. And yet we as Christians are called to rest in Christ. And I'm glad and I'm praising the Lord that I have the rest that Jesus Christ gives me. And even in the midst of turmoil, earlier threats of nuclear war with North Korea, I mean, there was some jockeying going on there, and it still may end up that way, but with all the unrest and the uncertainty and the corruption that is just through and through our system, folks, listen, our governments around the country from the local level to the state level, to the federal level, we have corruption as a main theme in our country's governments. It's unbelievable, the corruption involved. And so with all of that, can I have rest? Can I have rest with my wife, with my family, you with your kids? Can I assure my grandchildren that they can grow up in a peaceful environment? Well, they can, but it will be a spiritually peaceful environment within them, not necessarily a peaceful situation out here on the street. So the need for rest, real, genuine calmness, contentment, and quietness internally with Christ, is the need is paramount. And that's what our Lord offers us here in these familiar verses of Scripture. Now, these Scriptures are kind of pivotal in the ministry, earthly ministry of our Lord. Earlier in the chapter, in fact, the verses just before this, you'll notice He issues woes. Verse 21, woe to Chorazin, woe to Bethsaida. Verse 23, Capernaum, woe to you, Capernaum. Basically, what He's doing here, these cities were kind of like test cities for the nation of Israel. And the Lord brings up these three major cities in Israel and pronounces judgment on them because they have rejected Him. And this is a pivotal point. And now in verse 28 through 30, He kind of turns His emphasis to individuals in those countries that could still have everything He came to bring them. And that excites me. I don't have to worry if America totally rejects God. I don't have to, you see. My governor, my president, my Congress, my senators, my community, my sheriff, my magistrate, my city council, county council, they may reject the way of God. Anarchy may begin to take place in the streets, but I don't have to. Amen. I can have peace and rest and tranquility with Christ. And so He's calling individuals to come to Him for rest. And He mentions two kinds of rests here, and two ways to get those two kinds of rest. Notice what He says, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will, here's the first one, I will give you rest. There's a rest that Christ promises to give us if we come to Him. But read on, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall, here's the second one, find rest unto your souls. Okay? The first rest He's going to give me if I'll just come to Him in faith. The second rest He mentions is a rest that I'm going to find as I take His yoke on me, as I begin to learn about the one I'm in the yoke with, and as I take His yoke of service and ownership on me, and I spend time learning about Him, on the way through my life, I'm actually going to find rest. I'm going to realize along the path in the yoke with Him that I am at rest. I'm satisfied with Jesus Christ. Let the government implode. Let North Korea fill the sky with rockets. Let the economy tank. Hey, I'm traveling with Christ, doing His work, communing with Him every day, and I am at rest in my soul. And so this is just great teaching from our Lord. Let me pray, and then we'll just look at it a few moments. Father, help me now as I am not feeling the best and struggling with this coughing and sneezing. Lord, help me just to briefly and succinctly and clearly open up what You've said here And Lord, help me to call each one of us, these folk before me and myself, help me to call out to us to avail ourselves of this given rest. And Lord, this rest we find in the yoke with thee, I pray in Jesus' name. Well, let's first look at the author of this call. He's calling us. Come. Come. Well, who's the author? Well, of course, if you have a red letter Bible, these verses are in red letters. And so that indicates right off the bat that the author of this call is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies himself there in verse number 27. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. So this is the Son of God who's calling us. Read on, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And so this is the Son of God who himself alone knows the Father. Now look, folks, I know the Father through the pages of the Scripture, but I don't know the Father like Jesus Christ knows the Father. And I know Christ through the pages of the Word best I can, but I don't know the Son like the Father knows the Son. And so the one who calls you and me to rest is none other than the Son of God, who alone can show you and I the Father. Seems to me we ought to be interested in his call. How many calls you get a day? Huh? You ever want to ditch your cell phone? I do, and I've all I got, young people's a flip phone. I know that's dinosauric. I understand that. But I refuse to get an iPhone. I've got a pad and I got a tablet. I got a laptop, and I'm just not going to carry another computer around on my belt or in my hand. I don't need it. But I get calls all the time. Calls from my friends. Calls from my hunting buddies. Calls from my golfing buddies. Calls from this person. Calls from that person. And some of those calls, like you, when I see the call come up on my little screen, and I have to look because my screen's little compared to yours, and I see down there Stephen Howard, then I have the opportunity to either answer the call or ignore it depending on who's calling me. Now when he calls me, I answer every time. But if I see an odd number of a telemarketer, I don't even bother answering. If I see the number of somebody that loves to talk but never says much, I may postpone answering it or just not call it, answer it at all. But I tell you something, when the Son of God calls you, you'd better answer. He's got something important for you. And he's the one that calls. Oh, the Scriptures go on and describe him throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament. This one who calls us to his rest is described in John 1 as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This one who calls is the one who was made sin for us, who himself knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The one who calls is the one who died for us when we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. This is the one whom if you have, you can have life, but if you lack him, you will not have life. 1 John 5:12. This is the one to whom the Father has committed all the judgment that will take place in the end, John 5:22. He's the one who will come back to earth to reclaim his own, Acts 1:11. He's the one, if he's in your life and in your heart, if he's for you, then nobody else really matters if they're against you. That's nice to know in these tough times. Romans 8:31. He's the one that the Apostle Paul described in Colossians 2:9, within whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. No wonder when he was asked to show his disciples the Father, he remarked, "Look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The one who calls is the one whom to know is life eternal, John 17:3. And the one who calls is the greatest friend we sinners ever had, John 15:13. So when he calls, answer, listen, do what he says. Now, the objects, who are the objects of the call? It's clear. He says, "Come unto me." He's the caller. Here's the objects of the call, or the ones he calls, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." The objects of the call of the Son of God to rest are those that are laboring and heavy laden. No wonder they need rest. They are a laboring bunch. They are a heavy burdened bunch. Of course, the context is the laboring under their sin guilt and sin load. But I also believe it just includes the labors and weariness of living lives in the flesh and human bodies. There's not a man that's ever born on earth that doesn't labor and get weary at times in his course through life. The Bible describes man as a man born unto trouble, a man a few days, a man when he's born whose sparks fly upward. Human life is a life of labor and weariness and trial and turmoil and living in a world of corruption and darkness. And the heavy laden, of course, primarily refers to the burden of sin that every man carries. A burden that a man really crumbles under the load of. And if he dies under that burden, that laden with sin's situation, he will perish forever. Ever since the Garden of Eden, men have been laboring. Ever since Adam took the fruit and ate thereof and died, he plunged all of us into death. The curse came. The ground started bringing forth weeds. Women started having pain and labor. Sickness stormed into the earth. And ever since the fall of man, men have been laboring from the results of sin. And Christ has come to call men to rest who are stuck in that human situation. Alexander McLaren made this statement, I love to read after him, about this verse. He said concerning this men that labor and are heavy laden, McLaren wrote this, he said, "We are all like squirrels in a cage, putting forth immense muscular effort and nothing to show for it after all." What an observation. The best man, the man in his best state, the Bible describes as what? Altogether vanity. Solomon, in his great Ecclesiastes, went through the folly of men living for this and living for that and acquiring wealth and laboring into the night and getting this piece of property and getting that little nice trinket and conquering this conquest and climbing the ladder of wealth and power and ease and pleasure like a squirrel running on a circular treadmill in a cage. And then when a man dies, what's it all amount to? Nothing. It's vanity. And so our Lord calls we vain men to rest. He calls sinners to bring their sin load to Him, and He will give rest. We are naturally and spiritually men of restlessness. We are powerless to live lives of right behavior. As we're born, we're hopelessly lost and undone. The guilt of sin weighs on us. And we must come to Christ to have our sin load removed and be given rest in Christ. G. Campbell Morgan made this statement about those who actually learn to come to Christ for that given rest. He said, those whose heads are resting on the bosom of Christ enjoy eternity's rest. What a statement. Those whose heads are resting on the bosom of Christ enjoy eternity's rest or peace. Well, I tell you, what a description of living with the Lord. What a description of somebody who learns daily to lay their fevered brow on the breast of their Savior. Friends, that ought to be a picture of us every day. Sometime during every day, you need to take your fevered brow. You need to take your furrowed brow with all your worries and anxieties and cares and problems and hurts and disappointments. And you need to get off quiet somewhere and lay your head on his breast. Amen. With Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Well, look at the nature of his call. The author is none other than the Son of God, who alone knows the Father, verse 27. Who alone can bring us to the Father? Who alone, verse 27, the latter part, can reveal God the Father to us? The objects of his call are we that are by nature laden with sins and restless in our human